just check.
Okay, so I'll tell everybody now these shiurim are being posted online at yutorah.org. There is a link, I think, on the spolter.net website to it. I'm not entirely sure because I'm not the technical side of things in our family. But at yutorah.org, and it was very cool. Like, I went on and I clicked on Nach, and I clicked on Yirmiyahu, and they're like, four shiurim on the Y.U. Torah from Yirmiyahu. One of them was from this class, so it was very cool. And then you can go and see how many people looked and how many people downloaded, and it's like really cool. So, yeah. So feel free if you want to do a review or share with someone who couldn't make it. It's the letter Y, the letter U, T-O-R-A-H .org. So, yutorah.org. So we're going to start today with the first of the Haftarot that we're going to be discussing. Just to give you a brief understanding of what a Haftarah is. The Haftarah is the part from the Navi that we read with the Torah reading on Shabbos. We also read a Haftarah on fast days. And on the Chagim. The Haftarah, during the course of the year, from the beginning of Bereishit until now, until last Shabbos, not the one that just passed, but the one before it, the Haftarah was always connected topically to the Parsha of the week. Starting this past Shabbos, which is 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, the first Shabbos after Yud Zayin Tammuz, we start reading from now until the end of the year. We read the Haftarot that are related to the time period that we are experiencing now. So the first three that we're going to be reading this past Shabbos, this coming Shabbos, and the Shabbos after, the three Haftarot between Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are called the Gimel de Puranuta, the three Haftarot of Puranut, of punishment, of negative nivuot that Hashem gave Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu on the destruction of Eretz Israel. And then starting from Tisha B'Av, after Tisha B'Av, starting with Shabbat Nachamu, it's called Shabbat Nachamu because of the Haftarah, Nachamu, Ami. Starting from there, we have 7 weeks of Shiva Denechemta, which brings us up to Shabbat Shuva. And then the Haftarot around the Chagim are, of course, also time-related, you know, related to the Chagim. So just, I found that interesting, like when you put it in perspective, from Bereishit until Pinchas, or Matot, depending on which part you read together, it's all topically related to the Haftarot, and from here until the end of the year, it's going to be all, so it's 3, 7, and 3, 3 of Puranut, 7 of Nechama, and 3 related to Tshuva. So that's the breakup of the Haftarot. So, only 13 more weeks till Sukkot. Okay. To put things in perspective. Okay, so the Haftarah that we're going to start with today is the Haftarah that we read this past Shabbos. Going to be a Shabbos behind. And that is the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu. So if you open your Tanakhim or your Nach, doesn't matter, to Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph, the Haftarah is the entire Perek Aleph and the first three Psukim of Perek Bet. I'm going to employ a method that Esther and I actually learned Navi with in high school that I find extremely effective also as an adult to learn Navi. So first read the entire Perek through, to listen to somebody read it who has read it before. To hear the cadences, the conversations, and remember Mrs. Stern used to do that. I don't know if you remember. When she would start a parak, she always read the whole parak through. And I use that now every time I teach and when I learn. Like it just puts things in perspective. So I'm going to read it through for you, starting from the beginning of parak Aleph through the third pasuk of parak Bet. And without any translation, I'm just going to read it through. See what impressions you get. Dibrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher ba'anatot be'eretz Binyamin asher haya dvar Hashem elav bimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda b'shloshesre shana l'malko. Vayhi bimei Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda ad tom ha'shteisre shana l'Tzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda ad galut Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha'chamishi. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor. B'terem atarcha b'beten yedaticha u'b'terem teitei merechem hikdashticha navi l'goyim netaticha. Va'amar, Hashem Elokim, hinei lo yadati daber ki nar anochi. Yom Hashem Elai, what's homar nar anochi? Ki al kol asher ashlachacha teilech, ve'al kol asher atzavcha tedaber, al tira mipneihem, ki itcha ani lehatzilecha nom Hashem. Ve'ishlach Hashem et yado, ve'iga al pi. Ve'yom Hashem Elai, hinei natati dvarai b'ficha. Ve'if gadaticha hayom hazeh al agayim v'al mamlachot lintosh v'lintot la'abid laharos, לבנות ולתואר. והיא דבר השם אליי למור. מה אתה רואה, ירמיהו? Va'omar, makel shakein ani roya. Va'yomer Hashem elai. Vitavta l'ot, ki shokein ani al dvari la'asoto. Va'yihi dvar Hashem elai shenit, le'mor. Ma ata roya. Va'omar, sir nafuach ani roya, ufanav mipnei tzafona. Va'yomer Hashem elai, mitzafon tibatach hara'a, akoyish ve'haret. Ki inini korei l'kol mishvachot mamlechot tzafona, neum Hashem. Uva'u v'natnu ish kis'o petach sharei Yerushalayim v'al kol chomotah asaviv v'al kol arei Yehuda. V'dibarti mishpatai otam al kol ra'atam asher azavuni v'yikachul Elohim acherim v'yishtachavu l'maaseh yadehem v'ata ta'azor matanacha v'kamta v'dibarta aleihem et kol asher anochi atzavecha al techat mipneihem pen achitcha lifneihem. V'ani hine netaticha hayom le'ir mivtzar Ula amud barzel, ula chomot nechoshet al kol ha'aretz, l'malchei Yehuda l'saraha l'choneha l'am ha'aretz, v'nel chamu elecha v'lo yuchlu lach, ki itcha ani nu'um Hashem l'atzilacha. V'ayhi dvar Hashem elai le'mor, haloch v'karato b'ozne Yerushalayim le'mor, ko amar Hashem, zochayti lach chesed n'urayach ahavat klolotayach labriut, lechtech acharay l'bamidbar b'eretz lo zru'a, kodesh Yisrael l'Hashem reshit tvuata, Kol ochlav yashamu ra'at tavo aleihem ne'um Hashem. It is general practice when one reads entire psukim through to read it with Hashem's name. So I didn't read it like that, as you notice. The reason that I didn't read it like that is because I occasionally, when I'm in the middle of reading, I'll like decide to just throw in a comment or something here or there. But also because then the next time around when I read it, I get confused. Sometimes I'm in a class, I get like very in the moment. So that's, but in general, that's a good general practice. Terms of reading psukim. What impression did you get from this parak? From these psukim? What's the tone? What's the message? What's the focus?
Yirmiyahu's uncertain of his capabilities to
definitely.
Do the job.
Right, definitely.
And God is telling him, I'm going to help you, you're going to do it.
Good. So we have.
We will do it.
We have Yirmiyahu's uncertainty and Hashem's encouragement. What else?
Hashem's recognition that the Bnei Yisrael aren't following his ways and they need to be punished.
Yes. They shall need to be punished.
See, even though we always say Yirmiyahu is poor and good, there's also tikva here.
Excellent.
Because it says in Tosh, the Tosh, I've gone with note for the Torah.
Good.
And also at the end, the three psukim we read for Pasuk there.
Good. Isn't that interesting? Because right.
We always say Yirmiyahu is poor and good. Even last week you said
exactly. Good. It's one thing that I found interesting when I was reading through the Psukim is that the Parak Aleph is all Poranut, and had we end, except for the Lipnopiling Toa, Poranut is punishment, negativity, bad things going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's what Poranut is. And the Parak ends on a very negative tone, and yet we add those last three psukim from the next Parak to end with a Nechama, that everything, you know, it's very interesting.
I in the same note, I heard last week a Drushan Pasuk Yirah says Makel Shakeid.
Okay.
That's also, so Makel is negative, a stick, you know.
Right.
You could, but Shakeid, something flowery, blooming.
There's also,
it's like the stick and the carrot.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Makel Shakeid.
The Shakeid also is something positive.
Right, it's something positive. Mm-hmm. Well, this parak is parak aleph. The beginning of parak aleph, at least, is an introduction to the whole sefer. You could say the historical introduction that we did last week, and then right after that, starting from parak from pasuk dalet, from psukim dalet through yud, we have what's called hakdashat hanavi. Hakdashat hanavi is the initiation of Yirmiyahu as a navi, where Hashem comes to him and he says, "You're now going to be the navi of the Jewish people." What? Look. Take another minute and look through the Hakdashah, that's Psukim Dalet to Yud, and tell me if it reminds you of other Hakdashot of other Nevi'im.
Yeah, Moshe.
How does it remind you of Moshe? Let's turn to Moshe. This is where we use the Chumash thing.
At the burning bush.
Excellent. Right, exactly. That was Moshe's Hakdashah, was at the burning bush. Excellent. So turn to, we're in Bamidbar Perek, in Shemot Perek Gimel. Shmuel Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where we're standing at the burning bush, at the snack, and Hashem turns to Moshe, and he says in Pasuk Yud, he says, you're going to go to Paro now, you're going to take Nesa out of Mitzrayim, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, what's Moshe's response? Yomer Moshe El Elokim, Mi Anochi Keilech El Paro V'chilti B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. And not only that, if you look in the Perek Dalet, in the next Perek, Pasuk Yud, he adds on it even more. Yomer Moshe El Hashem, Bi Hashem Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi. I'm not a man of words. Gamei tmol, gamei shoshom, yesterday, 3 days ago, I never was. Gamei az, dabercha al avadecha, ki chavad peh uchavad lashon anochi. I can't speak well, he says. Just like Yirmiyahu says, lo yadati daber, ki nar anochi. I don't know how to speak. I'm an nar. So you see, just from the psukim themselves, we see this strong connection already that's being planted between Moshe and Yirmiyahu. So this struck me when I was going through this parak of the comparisons between Moshe and Yirmiyahu. And so I started to look in the Parshanim, and I started with the Midrash, because I like to go historically. So the Midrash, if you look at Parshanut, the Midrash is the earliest. So let me show you the Midrash that I found. I'm going to keep one and pass these along. This is my criticism at my model lesson. The first model lesson I ever gave was Mrs. Newman, and she says to me, don't hand out sheets in the middle of class. It breaks up the momentum. Oh, well.
You went to
there? I did. I actually worked there for a few months. We'll talk about that matter. Okay, so we're going to look in source number one. It's from a Midrash, Avot Rabbi Natan. It comes from a nice little book called Torah Sheba'al Peh, which goes through all of the Nevi'im and gives you all of the Midrashim on all of the Nevi'im. So it's really a very nice book. So this is in source number one, comes from Avot Rabbi Natan, and it comes on the words of Eterem Tzitzim Erech HaMikdash Ticha. Before you came out of the womb, you were already set aside, says the Midrash, Af Yirmiyahu Yatsa Mahul. Yirmiyahu also was born Mahul, with a Brit Milah already. Right. And I saw that and I'm like, whoa, ding, 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 ding. What do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu also? What does the Midrash say about Moshe? That he was born Mahul. Look in source number two. But Teira Oto Ki Tovu, when Moshe is born, in Shemot Perek Bet, the Torah says that he is Tov, Ki Tovu. But Teira Oto Ki Tovu, his mother sees that he is Tov. And the Midrash has a field day with this. What does that mean? Ki Tovu. And here we are introduced to the closest thing Judaism has to a superhero, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole house is filled with light. He had a special kind of cry. It wasn't like a cry of distress. It was. And what does it say about Moshe here? Moshe Yatsa Mahul. Moshe was born with a Brit Milah already. In other words, he was born physically complete. His physical completeness being a sign of his completeness as a person. And it's like, whoa. You know, here you have this strong connection to Midrash between Yirmiyahu and Moshe. They're both born Mahul. Both sources are coming from Avot Rabbi Natan. I don't have Avot Rabbi Natan at home. But in one book on Yirmiyahu and another book on Moshe, you see them, they both quoting the same Midrash from Avot Rabbi Natan. So that's our next indication of comparisons between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyahu. We move on into our parak in Yirmiyahu, parak Aleph, and we're going to take a look in Radak. Okay, you know what? Before we look at Radak, I'm wondering if I should go through and translate me, because you don't all have translation with you. Just these few pesukim. So starting, I'm going to start from pesuk dalet. Vehidzvah Hashem elayim. More Hashem's word was upon me to say. B'term atzarcha babetem labriu. B'term labriu. Atzarcha babetem yedaticha. Before you were formed in the stomach, I knew you, says Hashem. Ubiterim teitei meirechem hikdashticha. Before you even came out of the womb, I had already designated you for a higher purpose. Navi l'goyim netaticha. I made you a navi for the nations. Yirmiyahu's reaction, pasuk vav va'omar, and I said, aha, Hashem Elokim. Aha, Rashi says, is like a, it's a kracht. It's like, it's an onomatopoeia, I guess you could say. Is that what you would call it? Yeah. Aha, Hashem Elohim. Hine lo yadati daber. I don't know how to speak. Kinar anochi. I'm a youth. Pazuk zayin v'yomer Hashem Eli. Hashem says to me, al tomar na'ar anochi. Don't say, I am a youth. What?
I just complained.
Complained, right, that's what Rashi says. Complained, but yeah, the last. So Hashem says to me, don't say Nara Nochi, Kiel Kol Asher Shlachacha Teilech, everything I, everywhere I send you, you should go, you will go. But Kol Asher Atzavcha Tzedaber, everything I command you, you should speak. Al Tzirami Pneihem, don't be afraid of them, which I'm not sure who the them is. Yirmiyahu didn't really specify that he was actually afraid of any specific them. Who do you think the them is? Based on context.
Goyim.
The other nations. Because he's a Nebi like Goyim, right. What else?
Who are we asking of the Chachot?
Exactly, right. Even the Jewish people. Like, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Don't be afraid of them. He says, Ki tzchani lahatzilach. I'm going to be with you to save you. Meaning, yeah, bad stuff will happen, but I'll save you. You're going to need salvation. Ne'um Hashem. Ve'ishlalach Hashem et yado. This is such an interesting thing. We don't have time to really talk about all of the aspects of the Hakdasha. One of the things that I would do is we would sit here and go through the different Hakdashot of the different Nevi'im and compare them with Yishayahu's Hakdasha and Yechezkel's Hakdasha. Yechezkel actually was... also had a mouth image thing, right, going on. Yeshayahu had a physical, right, in touch with the God, that's right, with the hakol. So Hashem extended his hand, v'yagal pi, touched my mouth, v'yomer elai, he said to me, hinei natati dvarai b'ficha, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Re'ev karaticha hayom ezel hagayim v'alam amachot, I'm going to make you on all of the nations and all of the kingdoms, lintosh v'lintot, l'ha'abid v'laharos, to uproot, to destroy, to many other forms of the word destroy, leave note v'lintoa, and to build and to plant. So here also that, like as Libby was pointing out before, you have these six verbs over here that Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu that, which are his goal. Four of them have a negative connotation and two of them have a positive connotation, indicating that the vast majority of his nevuot will be negative and tochacha, but there will be some nechama in it as well. Okay, so if you'll go back to Radak on the word hikdashticha, which is in Pasuk Hey. I'm not starting right from the beginning of hikdashticha. One of one of the parshanim that I was reading a lot in here for the class today is Abravanel. Abravanel is one of my favorite parshanim. Abravanel asked an interesting question that I'm just throwing out to you. On the word Mitarim Titimerechem Hikdashticha, what Kedusha, if you look in the classical Jewish sources, Kedusha is referred to as Prisha, as separation from all things physical. You know, or a lot of things physical. How could you, before you even came out of the womb, been made kadosh, if there was, like, you had no opportunity to separate yourself from things physical? Like, this is just, you know, this is a Ravanel. Okay, anyway, so here's what Radak says on Hikdashticha. I'm going, like, a line in from the words Yesh Lish'ol. Give me a minute to find it in your... Yesh Lish'ol. Radak. Okay. Radak asks the question. He says, Yesh Lishol, you have to ask the question. V'halo kol ha-nebiyim v'ha-tzadikim. V'chein ha-rishayim, v'terem hi-bar'am, yeza'am v'hikiram. Like, didn't God know before he created anybody, like, who they're going to be? What's so special about Yirmiyahu? That Hashem is telling him, Yirmiyahu, I knew who you would be before you were born. Like, doesn't he know all of our potentials before we're born? Tzadikim, rishayim, other nebiyim. Like, why is it specifically says here?
I'm reading
in Radak. And the word hikdashticha about a line in. Do you have the same one I do?
Yeah.
It's the bottom line.
I see it.
Okay. But now I'm on the top of the next column. Ach yoreze, this teaches us, she'aviv v'imo nizharu b'kdusha v'tahara b'eita herayon. This indicates that Yirmiyahu's preparation as an aviv began in utero with his parents. Who else had to prepare? Hester Tanacha. Who else had to prepare in utero in order to be the person he became? his parents had to prepare, his mother had to prepare already in utero.
Bishop Manoah.
So good, right. Who was the mother of?
Shimshon.
Right. And then, right, see how well that worked in the end. That's so good. Although we're living in his territory here, you know, Shimshon's Plishti.
You could say Moshe also was the head.
Good.
Plan for his life.
Beforehand, right, they had to plan for survival, exactly. So he says that Yirmiyahu was special because he was prepared beforehand. The Chacham HaGadol Rav Moshe Bar Maimon, the Rambam, the great sage, the Rambam, Zichrono Lebracha, Katav, he writes, Kizeh Nyan Kol Navi. This is the issue with every Navi. E Efshailo Mibli Hachana Tiv'it Bi'ikai Tzirato Shiyeh Nachon LeNevuah Im Hahit Lamdut. Says the Rambam, there are two elements to being a Navi. And I'll take just half a second now to talk about what does it mean to be a Navi? What is it to be a Navi?
Hashem speaks to you.
Okay. Yeah. How?
Different ways for different people, right? Through okay. In a dream, directly.
Okay, but how do you get to be a Navi? Okay. Not just righteous, but even that's definitely an important step, but there's even more than that also.
But Bilam was a Navi.
Right. And he wasn't very
righteous.
But he was able to connect. It's like a connection with God. It's a plug-in. It's an ability to plug in. And we all talk to God, but the Navi actually gets the direct, obvious answers. Tim, he gets that other stuff. So according to the Rambam, Radak is quoting the Rambam, he says that in order to be a Navi, you need two elements of preparation. You need the natural preparation. You have to be born with the Netziah to get Nebuah. You have to be born in that direction. And you also have to learn and do preparation. So he talks about the nature and the nurture aspect of being a Navi, here he says. And this is emphasizing that. Why is Hashem telling Yirmiyahu, before you were even born, I designated you for a higher purpose? Because it's telling you that a Navi needs to be born special in order to get Nebuah. It's not just you can want all you want to. The Rambam says, talks about that there are two groups of people. There's a certain time in history, there are two groups of people. Everyone was either Nevi'im or B'nai Nevi'im. B'nai Nevi'im are people who are trying to get Nebuah. But someone who's trying to get Nebuah might not get Nebuah. It's like, when you talk about Nebuah, I can't avoid Harry Potter. Right? Mishalim. But like, you could, if you're a squib, can I just see who this is relevant to? With just a little indication, Harry Potter stuff, no?
Yeah,
sort of. Okay.
Big level.
You could want as much as you can to be a wizard, but if you aren't born with that natural ability to be a wizard, the spells won't work. You can't make it happen. So that's what the Rambam is explaining also about being a Navi, is that you can want all you want to, and you can do all the preparation and go into the forest and do your hitzvodaduth and separate yourself from the entire world. But if you're not born with that natural inclination to be a Navi, it's not going to happen. So this is what this pasuk is coming to tell us.
To reality, I think you could say, to be a teacher. And many teachers who study and do higher learning, but they just haven't got the knack.
Right.
And there's some who hardly finish, but they're born teachers.
Right. I have a friend who's an excellent teacher who didn't even really finish college. She doesn't have a degree in teaching, definitely. Yeah. Okay, the Yesh Lizat totally shall. Then, if you're going to say that this is according to, if you're going to agree with the Rambam, he says you still have to ask the following question: Lama lo amar zaha nyalana viacher ela liyirmiyahu? Why is only Yirmiyahu told about this pre-birth preparation? V'nochal omar, we could say lefi sheyada ha'el yiparach sheyirmiyahu yisareiv v'shlichut ha'el, that Hashem knew that Yirmiyahu was going to refuse to accept the mission. So therefore, hodi'o ki hu mochan l'nebuah min habeten. So he told Yirmiyahu, you're prepared for this. You were born for this. Kedei sheyechazek libo l'alecha b'shlichut ha'el. To strengthen him and encourage him to go on Hashem's mission. Now, he now takes the other side. V'im Tamar, and if you say that, then what about V'halo Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Hayam Esarev Gamkin B'Shlichut Ha'el V'lo Amar Lo Kein. Moshe also refused to go to Hashem's mission, and Hashem doesn't tell them, Moshe, you were destined for this from birth. So what's his answer? Hine Her'alo Ot Gadol L'Chazek Et Libo. Yeah, but Moshe's different because Hashem did encourage him just in a different way. He showed him an incredible sign, which was what? Behu Otasneh. And that is the sign of the burning bush that wasn't consumed. And then all the other signs that he gave him the ability to do for Paro. Or you could say that Moshe just knew it innately that he was born for this. Because he was a big smart guy. And he knew that if Hashem is coming to someone and saying, you are a Navi, then Moshe knows that must mean that I was born to be a Navi. So it would be unnecessary for Hashem to say it to him. And that's where we're going to end. But he says, and it's not just with nevuah, but it's with any kind of chachma or midot or anything that you have, any kind of tendency that you have, you're born with a potential. Don't you love that when your teachers would always say, she has so much potential. You know, you're born with a potential, and then with your learning, you build on that potential, and you make that little spark turn into something beautiful. So just to summarize what Radak is saying, he asked the question saying, isn't everybody, you know, doesn't Hashem know what everybody's going to be before they're born? Answer being, but he had special in utero preparation, and then he said his in utero preparation is part of the Rambam's whole plan of what it takes to be a Navi, but then why was it, and Hashem was reminding him of this, that he was born for this job in order to give him encouragement, but why wasn't Moshe given the encouragement? Oh, he was, but not in that way. He was shown this net. And by the way, Moshe really sort of knew already that if Hashem is coming to him, he must have been born for that. So that's what we have. So here we have our, our third connection to between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We have this connection between the two of them. Now let's move on to the next
one. Question about that.
Go ahead.
When you say that the preparation in utero, his mother did something different, or it's just his own natural inclination, like a kid born with who's good at gymnastics or music or a teacher?
So he says both of them. He says that if you're going to be a Navi, you have to first be born with those qualities. Mm-hmm. You have to be the kind of person who will be a Navi, like in gymnastics or any of those other talents. But he says, but the first thing he says before that is that Yirmiyahu's mother already prepared when he was in utero.
By doing what? What did she do?
I don't know. I guess she played him Shigurim instead of Mozart. So right, that they were careful, that they were extra careful in their own, in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in utero. Okay. We now move on to source number 3 on our sheet, which is Abravanel. Abravanel is going to also make a connection between Moshe and Yirmiyahu. I'm building a case here, you see, of this connection between Moshe and Yirmiyahu. But he's coming at it from a totally different angle. He looks at the first 3 psukim of our parak, and he asks a whole bunch of questions. And one of the questions that he asks is, if you glance back at those psukim, you'll notice that specific years are mentioned. Yirmiyahu started being a Navi in this year of Yoshiyahu's reign until that year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, and it's like very specific with the years, where if you would glance through the other Nevi'im, you'll see that just the kings are listed, not specific years. So why are there specific years mentioned here? So he says that there are a bunch of things you can learn from this. So he says, Hoda'ah Rabbi'i, the 4th thing you can learn from this is, I'm in source number 3. Who should be Er HaKatuv Mitzvah HaShanim Mehamlachim Ha'elash Shiniba Behem Yirmiyahu? You have to look into this, that the Navi wrote the specific number of years for a reason. And this is to prove how many years Yirmiyahu was a Navi. So I just want to, if you'll just look at the list for a minute at the beginning of the Perek and note who the kings were. We're starting with, this is my blackboard. My whiteboard at home is used as a calendar. So if you look at the beginning of the parak, it says, during whose reign was he a Navi? What is the same pasuk bet? Yoshiyahu. Okay, and then next? In pasuk gimel?
Yehoyakim.
And then next? Okay. I'm going to do a little detective work. Learn, turn back to knock and bat. I'm going to remind you from our class last week. We did a little bit last week. I'm going to remind you from our class last week that there are two kings in this list who are missing. We have, between Yoshiyahu and Yehoyakim, we have Yehoahaz. And between Yehoyakim and Zedekiyahu, you have Yehoyakim. So look how many years they each ruled. We're in Malachim Bet. I'll tell you where it's in a second, near the end. Yoshiyahu, Perakhav Bet. The beginning of Parakhav Bet tells you how much Yoshiyahu ruled, and then you skip to the end of Chaf Gimel, and the beginning of and middle of Chaf Dalet, and that'll tell you the other kings, and the end of Chaf Dalet. So, how many years is Yoshiyahu a king? 31. Yehoahaz was king for? 3 months. That's how old he was when he became king.
Oh,
3 months.
Sure.
Yehoyakim was king for the end of Parakhav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vav.
11 years.
Good. Yehoyakim, the next paragraph, is also 3 months. And Zedekiyahu is at the end of Parakhav Dalet?
11 years.
Okay, so we'll go back to our Bravanel for a minute and we'll come to our chart soon. I'm on source number 3, the end of the third line. Ki hu hitchil l'navot b'yod gimel shana l'Yoshiyahu. In which year of Yoshiyahu's reign did Yirmiyahu begin to be a Navi? Said it right in our Pasuk, in the 13th year. Which means how many years of Yoshiyahu's reign was he a Navi for?
18.
Okay.
31, sorry.
Right. Okay. So here's what he says. Yoshiyahu malach 31 shana, he ruled 31 years. Shlemim. 17 complete years, he says. 17 plus, which could be up to 18, but if we're counting full years, although I really think personally that if we did the 18, it would make his calculations make a lot more sense, but you'll see why. Okay. V'yehoyakim im Yehoahaz v'yehoyachin malchu karov liyud bet shana. If you take Yehoahaz, Yehoyakim, and Yehoyachin all together, you're close to 12 years. In other words, you could have just said 18 and then whatever. Okay, but he wants to include them in it also. V'tzidkiyahu ad ha-chorban yud alef shana. So how many years Tzidkiyahu until the Chorban was 11? How many years is that he was a Navi for?
40 years.
17 plus 12 plus 11, right? 40?
Yeah,
40. Is 40 years.
That's the amount of time
in the desert. And also, a minute, right, that Moshe, and he continues, Hare lecha mevu'ar shaliba Yirmiyahu arba'im shana kemoshe rabo. And he's actually quoting a midrash. The midrash actually makes a connection of the 40 years, but I brought it to you in the Abraham office. It does the cool calculation things, you know, whatever, how it got 40 years. And then he says, and this is proof that he really was very young, because they have a whole discussion about when Yirmiyahu protests and says that he's very young, does that mean an experience or age? So he says this is proof that it was age. That he was very young, but he makes this strong connection again between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were both a Navi for 40 years. Moshe from the age of 80 until the age of 120, and Yirmiyahu also for 40 years. So we have so far, we have the connection of the actual text with his refusal. We have the connection of the Midrash, that they were both born with a Brit Milah. We have the Radak, comparing the Moshe's refusal, Moshe's encouragement that he got with Yirmiyahu's encouragement that we got. And we have a Bravanel with the 40 years that they each were Nevi'im. So I now throw it out to you. What do you do with this? There are clear, strong connections between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does the text and the Parshanim feel the need to connect them so strongly. I'll tell you honestly, I don't have an answer. I have different thoughts that are going around my head, but I don't have like an answer, and I wanted to throw out to you, because they're all intelligent ladies, and I like how you think, and I want to know what you think.
Well, maybe to accept the Navi of Puranut on the same Ramah that we accept Moshe as,
you
know, okay. Moshe as man of God, Eben Hashem.
Right. But if he says something Puranut, then we're automatically not going to want to hear it.
We don't want to hear it.
Okay. So it's kind of giving him like a...
Status, because it's status.
Okay. Interesting idea. Go ahead. You thought you were going to come and I was going to do all the work for you.
What?
You thought I was going to have to do all the work for you.
Well, with that status, we must understand that it's the real thing. It's the real McCoy, and we better listen.
Right.
That's as if Moshe was speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
All nevuah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Our source of believing in the Nevi'im is
our belief,
in
right?
The Moshe, mm-hmm. And the Pesukim to support them.
Yes. And if you look in the Pesukim in Devarim, actually, turn for a minute to Devarim, Pasuk Yudchet, where the concept of Navi is presented. When Hashem describes what is a Navi, he says, I'm going to make a Navi. Devarim Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudchet, Navi akim lachem mikarav achichem kamocha. I'm going to bring a Navi like you. V'natati dvarai b'fiv. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. How could you not say this is talking about Yirmiyahu? V'diber aleihem et kol asher tzevenu. This is like almost word for word copied in our psukim. Hashem says, I am putting my words in your mouth. You will speak everything that I am asaveh. And then all that's missing is this connection, is the kamocha, which seems to be there so strongly. It's almost like Yirmiyahu is referred to in the psukim. Or that Yirmiyahu is being given super encouragement because he has to be such a negative Navi. So he's given that this is what I was talking about, Yirmiyahu. You are the real McCoy. You are the one. Okay, so let's move on to further in his Nivuah. So the first Nivuah really that he's presented with is this Hakdasha. But then we move on. You see, the Perek itself is really divided. You can divide it into four sections. And the Haftarah you can divide into five because you have the last three psukim tagged on the end. So you have the three psukim in the beginning is the historical introduction. Then you have Dalet Yud is the Hakdasha. Then you have vision number one, vision number two, and then the ending with the Nechama part. So let's look at vision number one. Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ma'atah ro'e Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, what do you see? That in itself is an interesting kind of thing. What do you see, Yirmiyahu? The Abravanel explains this, and I started reading also in preparation for this class. Also, I have a book I wanted to read for a long time called The Prophets by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. It's fascinating. And one of the things he talks about is that the Navi is bringing his personal interpretation into Hashem's word, which sounds very controversial, right, to say. And then I'm reading Abravanel, and Abravanel's like, every person is born with their own imagination, their own concepts, and that what Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Ma'atah ro'eh Yirmiyahu, you have to understand that this is a basic tenet of Nivuah, that not every Navi is going to see when sent the same message from Hashem, because they are all going to interpret it based on their own imagination and their pre... And Rav Mel said it, I'm like, wow. I mean, not that I needed validation, not that, you know, but it was just cool.
The only time success.
What?
Did you remember that? That's the only time that Nivuah went...
But Hashem actually asked, what do you see? Right, but so Rav Mel says this is using an example. Are you expecting someone? Oh, Libby's expecting someone. So, right, but this is the only time that, but Rav Mel says this is to indicate an across the board thing, you know. He's using that a lot. With well, one of the things we spoke about last time about Yirmiyahu being first. Topically in the order of Nevi'im, so I think that Abravanel uses a lot of Yirmiyahu to sort of discuss tenets of Nebuah, like across the board, things of Nebuah that he says we learn from Yirmiyahu. Okay, so what does Yirmiyahu say? He says, Va'omar, I said, Makel Shakeda Niro'eh, I see the stick of an almond tree. Ve'omar Hashem Elai, God says to me, Etatalerot, good job. Kishokirani al devari la'asoto, because I am shokade on my words to do them. Shokade. It's like the verb form of the shakade. Very interesting. Okay, so let's try to, so some of you, I'm sure, have had experience with this before, and some of you maybe not, with this particular nebuah. Different things of what is this makel shakade here to indicate, to show. So Rashi, we're going to start with Rashi. Pasuk Yud Bet on the words Hitav Teller Ot. Rashi explains, Hashaked Hazeh Hu Memaher Lahotzi Perach Kodem Lachol Ha'ilanot. The Shaked is the first one to blossom of all of the trees, right? Hashaked Yaparacha. It's the first one of all the trees. Af Ani Memaher Lasot Devarai. Just like this shakade is very quick to blossom, I will be quick to fulfill my words. All the things that I say I'm going to do, they're really going to happen, and they're going to happen fast, and they're going to happen now. But that's what the image is of the makel shakade, because the shakade is the first flowering, and it's very quick to flower, so I'm going to do, be very quick to bring my stuff also. Okay. Now Radak. This is a different interpretation. Let me see if I can explain to you where it is in the Radak. Okay, it's in Radak on Pasuk Yud Aleph on the words Vayehi Dvar Hashem. In mine, it's about four lines in, starting from the words Ki Ra'ah HaMakel. Let me know when you see it. So says Radak, Ki Ra'ah HaMakel below Alim below Prachim. That was why Hashem was asking Yirmiyahu, what do you see? Because he showed him a stick, just a stick, with no leaves on it and no flowers on it. So when he says, Yirmiyahu, it's what do you intuit from this? How good are you really? And Yirmiyahu was able to identify it without any identifying marks on it, which is pretty good. Okay, so he says he saw it without any leaves, without any flowers. He thought about it, he intuited from the vision. And he recognized that it was from an eight shaked. That's why Hashem said to him, Itav teller ot. She'ilu ra'a oto ba'alim v'ar prachim, ma hayta hatavat ha-re'iyah. Na'kelu la'kir zeh. Na'kelu la'kir. Like, it would have been easy to recognize. Like, otherwise, what's the kunz? What's the big deal that Hashem is asking him? You know, saying, yay, good job. Okay. Zahar elo ha'el makel shaked. Liot mashal al ha'paranut ha'atida l'avol Yisrael. So why is he showing him this stick? To as a mashal for the punishment that is in the future will come on Bnei Israel. Shatavol lahem bim heirah, they'll come on them quickly. Kamo she'etza shaked memaher lefrach yoter mishar ha'etzim. Just like the shaked blossoms quicker than any other tree. Lefichach nikra shaked ki hashkeda inyan ha'mehirut v'hishtadlut. What does shkida mean? He's saying, I read this pasuk, makel shaked, and how interesting it is to use the verb form of that, shaked ani. Right? Says Radak, you're looking at it backwards. It's called a shaked because the concept of shkida is to do something fast, to do it right away. So he says that's why it's called a shaked. V'chein amar ki shoked ani al dvarai la'asoto. And that's why he says, shoked ani al dvarai la'asoto, I'm going to do it fast. So Radak is agreeing with Rashi here in terms of the imagery that we're supposed to get from the understanding we're supposed to get from the imagery of the makel shaked.
Shaked used as a verb elsewhere in Tanakh.
I don't know, I didn't check it. Okay. I would imagine that it is. Okay. But I think I'm pretty sure it is actually because it came across in some of my other research actually on it. Okay, we're gonna now. We've been going now until now in chronological order, Rashi and then Radak, and we would normally naturally then move on to Abravanel, but I want to interject with a more modern interpretation, which is source number 4, which is from Rabbi Yehuda Felix. So Rabbi Yehuda Felix wrote a book called Teva Be'eretz V'Tanach. But he takes it in English, it does exist in English, called Flora and Fauna, biblical flora and fauna or something like that. It's, you know, flora and fauna of the Tanakh. So I'm like, okay, we'll look up the Makel Shakein and see what he has to say. And he says something very interesting. He says, Mishalei, source number four, Mishalei ilanot omdim b'merkazem shel habek perkei nevuah v'tanach. You have a lot of pakim of nevuah and tanach that talk about like different trees and stuff. Ein tema she'ela hayu chavivim b'yumiuchad al Yirmiyahu. It's not a surprise that these were especially close to Yirmiyahu. Ben hakfar Anatot, from the village of Anatot, she'shachem b'gvul hamizra u'midbar Yehuda, that it was found on the city of Anatot, where Yirmiyahu lives, was right on the border between the fertile land and Midbar Yehuda. Shenofo hatziuri sipeklo hashra'a l'mishalim, that the creative landscape, the very visual landscape that he saw, in other words, he would look out his window and be able to have these mishalim at his fingertips. Metaphorot, v'dimuyin, metaphors and images, mitchum hatzameach, achay v'chaklaut, from the area of flora and fauna and agriculture. Thank you. Kfar b'chazon hakdasha told the Navi already in his first nevuah, he'elai Yirmiyahu samel me'olam hatzameach. He already brings an example, a symbol from the world of the flora. Makel shakena niroem. V'Hashem shibcho al kach, and Hashem praises him for this. You have, indeed, in the concept, in the image of Makel Shaked, you have the example of, it's bringing you the example of the severity of the time. That's that's quickly bringing the end. Nir'eh also, ki ha'kavana lo rak l'chach. It's not only this. Sha'shakeinu ha'rishon l'hanatzah b'mata'im ha'nishirim ha'omdim b'shalechet b'chodshe ha'choref. That the shaked is the first one. It's not only about this, but also the shaked is the first to flower, which we spoke about. Yesh ba'benitato ha'levana also, k'dei l'rmoz al ha'seva ha'kreva. So he says that the Makel Shaked doesn't only have this, what the Radak is talking about, and the Rashi is talking about, that it's the first, you know, that things, you know, the end is coming fast, but also because of the whiteness of the blossom, it also reminds us of old age, he says. Likrat ha'sof. But it also is showing you the beginning of a new era. Because it's the beginning of the season. He says that it's an image that's fraught with paradoxes, with all different kinds of things. It shows you that the end is coming because the light, and it's showing, you know, and it's fast blossoming, but it also shows you it's also the beginning of a season, he says. Of hatchalat machzor chayim chadash. So you have all these different symbols that are being presented in the makel shaked. You also have the concept of that the makel is used for punishment. You know, and the shaked, like Libby said, the shaked is a beautiful flower. So you have like paradoxes. It's not simply a one way kind of image. Which brings us to our last source on this, which is Abravanel, source number 5. Okay, I'm starting from the third word and then the top line. Umnei she'Hashem Yitbarach Hishpi al Yirmiyahu b'nevuato zot shefa sichli. Hashem kind of like gave him the intellectual strength to see this nevuah. Yirmiyahu b'koch dimyono higshimo v'himshilo. And Yirmiyahu, this is what I was talking about. The Navi is taking his own personal experiences and his personal imagination and sort of able to build on what Hashem shows him. So Hashem showed him the intellectual side and the message, and Yirmiyahu with his imagery was sort of able lahakshim to manifest it. Lachin she'aloi barach, that's why Hashem asked him, ma taroe Yirmiyahu, what do you see? Rotev omar, ma ha'dimyon v'ha'hamshel asher asita b'dimyonecha. What do you see, Yirmiyahu, in your imagination? B'ma hishvata al sechlecha. From what I gave you in the sechel part, what did you add from your dimyon? V'hu heshivo makel shoked ani ro'eh. This is what he answered. He said, I see a makel shaked. Lo amar eitz el makel. He didn't say an eitz, but a makel. Oh, I jumped the gun a little bit. V'hu, sorry. Oh, v'hu amiyuch. I don't know why. It's always curious to me why, like, certain editors cut off, like, when do they pick to cut off the last letter of each word? You have to figure out. Okay, here we go. V'hu hamiyuchad la'anish et harishayim. The makel is what's used to punish evildoers. Yomar Mashaba Iti Ani Udmiti Bekochi Hamadameh. Hu Shiavo, what did he say? He said, what I see in my image, Hu Shiavo Makil Hakotet HaRishayim. I see that a stick is going to come to kill the Rishayim. The Yeshokeru Mahir B'Masehu. It's going to be fast in its doings. The Azamar Lohikakilero. Utselamar Dimue Hagun. That makes Minaet. Kafi HaShefa. He said, your image that you're seeing of the Makel Shaked is very fitting and appropriate to the message I'm trying to give you. In other words, Hashem, according to the way Rav Nail is explaining it, Hashem sort of like put the idea into Yirmiyahu's head that of this combination of thoughts of the Makel and the Shaked and the fast and the beautiful and the white and the old age and all these conflicting things. And what did Yirmiyahu come out from this then? He came out with the image of a Makel Shaked. And that's what he presented to Bnei Israel. Well, Midrash HaGadah, he quotes a Midrash, HaShaked HaZeh Mish'at Hinatzto Ad Gemar Perotav Chaf Aleph Yom. How long does it take from the Shaked, from the time it starts to bud until the fruits are ready to be picked? It takes 21 days, which is a very short time period. Kiminyan hayamin shemin shemin yodzayim tamuz shabo hufka'a ha'ir letet ba'av shabo nisraf habayit. That those are the same amount of days. I just wanted to end with that because it's like such a clear thing. That also this Makel Shaked, very timely, takes 21 days from budding to fruit picking. Just like the 21 days from yodzayim tamuz to Tisha B'Av. So I didn't get to address all the issues in the Nebuah. We still didn't do the Sir Nachuach, and we didn't do the end of it, the beginning of Parakat, but at least they have a little taste of what the Parakat's about. And next week we'll do the Haftorah for this coming Shabbos. We're going to do it a little late. We'll do it after, you know, we're a week behind with all of them, and which is Parakat. So if you could again bring your Navi and your Hanach, and I'll provide the extra sources that I would want to do, and then a week after we'll do Pekah. Have a good week.